Greetings, comic book nerds, and welcome to episode 30 of the Pull List Podcast, a bi-weekly show about comics, pop culture, and faith. My name is Chris Poirier, and with me, as always, is the one and only Hector.
Only because I sue people who infringe on my copyright.
That's fair, but no one's getting any cease and desist notices. Don't worry about it. But we are back for episode 30, and we're super excited. We've got a pretty awesome show for you today. We're going to talk about some of the latest news. The boys formerly of Valiant Comics have a bad idea. Toy Fair 2020 is this weekend, and Strange Adventures is coming to a store near you. All that and more coming up on this episode of The Pull List. So go ahead, strap yourselves in, and prepare yourselves for We've Got Comic Sign. Better put the word out. Get ready for the nerd. We've been away for a hot minute, and January just became a hot mess of work and other things, so I apologize, but fear not, fans, we have not gone anywhere. In fact, we've actually talked a lot. Hector and I will talk kind of at the bottom of the show here today about what we think season two will have in store for the Pull List. We're going to wrap season one with this episode, number 30. We figured that's a nice round number, and it's kind of arbitrary, so boom, end of season one, season two's coming. We're going to mix up the format a little bit, but we'll get to that as we get along to talking about some comics over the last couple weeks and everything, and just some of that news that we talked about. Bad Idea Comics. Have you heard of these folks?
Just when you mentioned it at the intro.
At the top of the show. So, Dinesh, Adam, Hunter Garrison, whole bunch of other folks. Basically, if some of your favorite folks from Valiant disappeared when DMG bought Valiant a little over a year ago now, all those gents have come back together and have been scheming over the last year, and they are ready to reinstitute their very own comic publisher, and it is called Bad Idea. And they're not just coming up with new comics and everything, they're also going to approach the market and kind of try to challenge the status quo in terms of comics distribution. You and I have known some folks that have thought about this, have gone after it, and kind of came up with different ideas with it. But this is the main idea. They want to cut out Diamond. They are not going to distribute via Diamond distributors whatsoever. They are going to a direct distribution model.
You can't do that.
Well, apparently you can, or it's a bad idea. Oh, that pun is just going to keep going. I get it. So they're trying to do, Dinesh would probably throw something at me if I use the word boutique, but it kind of is, right? They're only going to select 20 comic stores in the first year to kind of start their idea. So some people have said that's a bad idea because they're probably going to have really good books and it's going to be so limited distribution, getting hold of them may be difficult. But we truly don't know all the details quite yet of what Dinesh and gang are up to, but being a rather unapologetic fanboy of everything that Dinesh did in bringing Valiant from its ashes to success to begin with, I think if some people can shake up the industry, it's going to be those folks. Because Dinesh just gets comics. And a lot of the stuff that he did at Valiant was bringing good creators together, telling good stories, and then above everything else, offering just amazing customer service to retailers. And that was Adam's main thing at Valiant, was flipping the script that I heard from my Valiant guys like on an almost weekly basis. I never heard from Marvel ever. We talked to DC for here and there. Boom Studios we had talked to like monthly, but Valiant really changed the whole idea of how we do customer service, and basically the idea is that's going to keep coming. So I'm pretty excited to see what they're up to. And on top of all that, it's super cool that they brought a bunch of all of our favorite folks from Valiant. So early, rumors is Matt Kent has a project. Jeff Lemire has a project. Robert Venditti has a project. So, you know, these aren't nobodies. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with all of this. One way or another, it's either a bad idea or a really good idea. So we just kind of have to sit back and wait. And Comics Pro, the retailer summit, is this week. And they're presenting there with a bunch of other folks. So I'm waiting to see if any new things come out of Comics Pro this week as they kind of give everybody.
Where does that take place at?
They're in Portland. They kind of go to Portland every other year. I forget where they were last year, but the last time I went was 2 years ago in Portland, and they're now back in Portland. So I always keep track of that because that's a professional retailer summit. And I feel like lots of neat stuff comes out of that conference. Because that always leads into C2E2, which is next weekend. So lots of comic news should be putting itself together over the next couple weeks as, you know, the beginning of 2020 really gets going. And the roaring 20s go rolling along. Ugh. Can we take a bet now how many puns I'm going to jam into the next hour?
I can make a bet of how many I would suggest you make.
And how many we don't. So moving right along. The other awesome thing that happens at this time of year is the Toy Fair. And Toy Fair 2020 up in New York is starting this weekend. And that's where all the toy makers and statues and all that cool stuff get their cool things together. And they lay out their future for this year of all the neat toys and stuff that you can buy. And
I miss Toy Fair magazine, just for the record. I know, right? That's a totally different thing. But man, I freaking loved flipping through Toy Fair and... Like just letting the envy flow through me, leading me towards the dark side. And
yes, yeah, I miss Toy Fair. Yes, open your wallets. Yes. Similar but different. You're absolutely right. That the one thing I always love about Toy Fair is DC always goes all in. And they have released, they always release almost their entire catalog before they get there. So you can be like, cool, I need to set aside a couple $100,000 for all the cool things that are going to come out. And so their 2020 lineup has already been dropped on the interwebs, and we will go ahead and drop that in the show notes for all of you so you can see all of your favorite DC action figures and other things that you absolutely have to have or you want to see how they look. But looking at the list, there's almost 50 something new stuff. Looks like a line of Frank Cho DC Cover Girl statues are continuing this year. Always going to be more Harley statues. Deceased is getting an entire action figure line, taking a look at it. So that's kind of cool. And then all kinds of stuff in between. So the Joker Clown Prince of Crime is getting a statue line. There's just always neat stuff. So there's not a lot of pictures yet, but that's what this weekend is for. Ooh, there are some pictures.
What?
Pretty.
The only reason I would want a deceased line is because it's the first time you get Jason Todd as Red Hood just wearing a red hoodie, like Adam Sandler style.
And right, there you go.
That's all I need is Jason Todd in a red hoodie.
Ooh, there's some... They have a Batman Who Laughs, like in the animated series style figure in this line. That looks pretty cool.
I know, that's uncomfortable.
Right?
Thanks for making me cringe.
Yep. So go ahead and click that link in the bio, and you'll see all kinds of wonderful stuff from the show notes about what DC is bringing to Toy Fair. If you're not familiar with Toy Fair, I will try to get a link for you for that as well, just so you can see it, because... It is literally just all of the cool toys, figures, etc. for the entire year. And they have it at Javits, same place they do New York City Comic Con. And it's literally almost as big, but literally just toys and statues and everything. So it's pretty cool. And finally, for our news, how many people out there in Pull List Land really enjoyed Tom King's and Ms. Gerard's Mr. Miracle?
Ooh, we do. Ooh, we do.
We do. Yeah, yeah. Everyone should have their hands up. If you don't, get out. I mean, No, keep listening to the show. We love you, seriously. But if you didn't read it, you need to go back and read it, which is kind of surprising because we talked a lot about it. But
it their is, next, to be fair, it is not your standard fare of book.
That is true.
And like the main capes and the main cape community still may not fully embrace all, everything that story is.
That's probably fair. But they have a new book series coming out, and they're kind of digging into DC's deep catalog once again. And so Adam Strange, a totally different Doctor Strange, but, you know, he's a spaceman, is the story for their next mini, and I do believe it's going to be a 12-parter.
Yeah, I saw a 12-part.
So similar format and all that, and all of the things that you have come to love about this team is present, and there's kind of like a mini like trailer that's out on the internet, and we're going to drop that in as well, because that comes out March 4th, and basically you're going to get to take a look at another deep cut DC character and IP from them in a story called Strange Adventures, which is kind of a throwback to old school Silver Age naming conventions of some awesome old books. But it's going to be another kind of visceral look at another DC superhero. So if you're into Tom King doing this type of stuff like he did with Mr. Miracle, and I know, Hector, you finally got around to reading The Vision when he did that at DC, at Marvel, rather. Woo, hey. And yeah, you probably learned that Tom King just is really good at this kind of story. So I won't steal your thunder.
He's not somebody you want at Thanksgiving dinner. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's right. Nothing good probably comes from that interaction based on all of the things that came before. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Some of the early visuals look really awesome. And that's really going to do it for the news, kids. There's lots of stuff going on, and there's lots of stuff for us to catch up on, but we wanted to get a few things in front of you. But like I said, the next couple of weeks have major conventions coming up that we should start seeing a lot of news and information of what 2020 is going to look like, especially after next weekend with C2E2. We should be hearing a lot. And also, just to see if any big things come out of Comics Pro about the retailers and the publishers and what's going on in the industry. So as always, you can join us in our Facebook community at the Love Thy Nerd Facebook community. It's that easy. Go ahead and search that bad boy, and you can jump in and have a conversation with Hector and I and all your other nerdy friends. So join us there and tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, or maybe if there's something that we've missed. It's time to transition to that most wonderful time of our show, where we talk about those books that we have found in our polls over the last couple weeks and the things that we enjoyed and the things that, well, maybe we didn't, but are worth bringing up here. So looking over the list for today, Hector, it looks like we've got a pretty good cross-section of things. So how about you hit us with what really jumped out at you over the last couple weeks?
Well, as you mentioned, I went back and read Tom King's Vision arc, which you can pick up in two graphic novels. I don't know if it's collected all in one, but
I think it is.
Yeah, I saw it in two.
I'll look into that.
I saw it in two separate ones, but, you know, it was solid. It was really good. It's the first, I don't know, like, it's the first, might be the first Vision book I've ever owned. And, but a lot, if you've seen how with the Super Bowl ad and everything else, that you know that Marvel is bringing WandaVision to Disney Plus, one of the things is that it looks, what some of the stuff we saw in the trailer for WandaVision looked so much like Tom King's Vision arc. And it just kind of put a bug in my mind that, you know, I want to read that at some point. And then I had some downtime and I'm like stuck somewhere and I can't watch videos. So I'm like, I'll just pick up a book and check this out. So I picked up that, and man, it was just a really solid story and just further reminded me how much I love Tom King's writing and the fact that he was able to take. I mean, and realistically, dude, it was like a horror book.
Right? It's really a different feel, especially for Vision in general. But, and kind of for me, it also was kind of like maybe thriller would be a slightly better connotation. But, I mean, I guess it depends on how you view the type of... Because, yeah, it has a lot of different interesting... Okay,
when you look at the murders, and right. you look at the cover-ups, yeah. and the pure carnage of some of the stuff that goes on, it's super murdery. And
yeah, I think, spoiler alert, class.
it's just some murders, not a lot. A couple.
A few.
But the only thing that, to me, that would separate this between horror and thriller is a soundtrack.
Like, right. That's
what
fair.
You do in the background is going to make this horror or thriller. You know, you throw a little Mission Impossible in there. Yeah, it's a thriller. You get some choppy piano and by God, this is a horror book.
Yeah.
But it was just really solid. And honestly, like other stuff in Tom King's bubble, it deals with mental illness. It deals with... Right. Trauma, it deals with relationships and that struggle, identity. Honestly, like, the more I read Tom King stuff, the more I realize this dude's seen some things.
Right? And, well, and he has.
And he has, and he's lived through some stuff, and I'm like, okay, I feel you, bro.
I think the thing that would help some folks is the base premise of this book is Vision... Just given his reality as an automaton, he realizes that he doesn't have family. He doesn't have connections. So he literally builds himself a family. He builds himself a wife and kids. And so the story that Tom unfolds is, what does a family of Vision type robots, automatons, what does life look like for them? And apparently it gets murdery really quickly.
Well, and two, they're not just strictly AI. They're also right. based and linked on the brain waves of real people.
Right.
And when you put real people struggle in superpowered bodies with little understanding and maturity, things get murdery.
Stuff happens. Yeah. On this week's episode of Black Mirror, Tom King.
You know what, dude? It really was an episode of Black Mirror. And right? I'm down with that. And they also have some like pretty frequent faith discussions, which, you know,
yes.
down for that always.
No, they definitely come down to this concept of, if I recall correctly, a lot of discussion around the meaning of creator.
And the meaning of creator and then like... when some stuff starts to get real, the daughter wants to pray and she's like, I don't know if there is a God. The concept of God seems illogical, but I would like to believe there is a God. And right. her and Vision start to pray together. And then like, there's a blurb towards the end of it where, despite all logical understanding, there actually is a God. And it goes into this thing of like, you know, I feel that. And it was solid.
It's a good read. If folks haven't had the chance, I know I definitely put my stamp on the Vision is definitely something you should pick up.
Yeah, it was. I don't regret it at all. Sticking with Marvel, which I guess I got a lot of Marvel on my little
almost
list today.
Almost all of mine are.
Yeah. The second one would be Jessica Jones Blind Spot, which I feel kind of like I got Rickrolled in the marketing of this. Not sure if you're aware, but
that was a digital only, wasn't it? Or
it was a digital only. It's something that came out years ago.
Yes.
As a digital only story, and now they're printing it in a physical format. Yep.
I remember this because this was another one of those where the retailers are like, hey, cool, thanks for doing something that people will definitely read, but then doing it digital only, and by the time it hits stores, everyone will have forgotten it, including us.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And, you know, I picked it up and I'm like, wow, this is a fresh Jessica Jones story. And it feels very much like in the vein of the Netflix series. And I'm like, man, and my first thought was when I was reading the first issue, I was like, this would have been a perfect ending to the Netflix series, you know, And then I'm like, oh, wait, this was
that. Womp, womp, womp.
Basically. But no, it was it's so far that there are three issues and someone is going around shooting powerful females in the head. Like,
oof.
So like Jessica Jones finds herself getting shot in the head like at the end of the first issue. But you actually get to see Luke and Jessica as a married couple with a newborn and dealing with life and parenting and her still trying to be the detective that she is and what that looks like. But it then turns into, you know, we need to hunt down whoever's killing powerful women. And what's really funny to me is I was playing Marvel's Ultimate Alliance when it dropped late last year. Or mid last year, whenever it was, part three. And there's a level with a character I have never heard of in my life. Like, in all of the years that I loitered in a comic book shop and have lived in nerd culture hard for years, I have never heard of this person. And, but it's a monster hunter named Bloodstone.
Hmm.
Like, she is a female. With a ponytail.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trench coat, and she kills monsters.
Yep. Bloodstone's been around for a while, actually.
Yeah, I know she's been around, but I'd just never heard of her.
Yeah, it's interesting because Marvel, like, had been Elsa Bloodstone, right? They worked her in something else this year that was, like, really random, and I was like, oh, well, there she is. Yeah, because her series was back in 2001. She's a fairly new character in relatively speaking, but yeah, they like mixed her into a bunch of really random stuff and then she kind of just straight up disappeared. She does that a lot. She shows up, disappears, but it's like she's basically the Marvel Van Helsing type foil.
Yeah, she's the Van Helsing foil with a little bit more of the with Bayonetta.
Yes,
she's Bayonetta. Yep. And Belle Van Helsing together. And, yeah, that's a lot. But she was like, there was an issue that just had, Elsa Bloodstone and Jessica Jones chopping up monsters in the harbor with hatchets and having heart to heart conversations about life. And I just like literally, cause I don't know about you, when I read comics, sometimes I'm quickly like devouring it. And then other times I'm like pacing myself and adding in sound effects in my mind and a soundtrack to the back of it. And like really taking my time to picture. And like, this was one of those, like I was actually, it's almost like doing exegesis for scripture. I'm like trying to like break it down little by little. And I'm like thinking about the feeling of the water or up to your knees. The smell of the monsters, the splat of the hatchet. I'm just like, man, there's a lot going on in these pages if you, like, really dive in. So that was that one. And then it's just so far blind spot. There's three issues so far. I think it's a 6-issue arc. And it's solid. If you enjoy Jessica Jones, this is worth picking up. And one of the things was that this was also one of the first times someone else did a solo Jessica Jones book. And so there was some iconic stuff to that. Then Deceased Unkillables dropped this week in DC Comics. And this is, again, you know, part of the Deceased line. And the Deceased story ended up being one of my favorite reads of 2018. But one of the questions that popped up, you know, for the fanboy that I am, is where the crap is Jason Todd? right. Like, I need to know these things. And
Hector doesn't sleep well at night if he doesn't know where his boy is.
No, if I don't get some representation of Red Hood, I get a little testy. I go from Hector to Karen like that. And
I need to see a manager right now.
Dan Didio, can I talk to Dan Didio, please?
No, he doesn't answer emails like that.
So yeah, I was like, man, where's Jason Todd in this story? Because, you know, zombies and Jason Todd sounds like a party. And Deceased Unkillables number one gives us a focus line of Deathstroke, a slew of villains, including the Creeper, Vandal Savage, Solomon Grundy, Mirror Master, Bane, and I want to say Cheetah, that all survived. Ooh. The onslaught. And the fun thing is Deathstroke doesn't necessarily survive at the beginning, but his healing factor heals him of the virus.
Interesting.
Right. So there's something in Deathstroke that could cure all of this. And so they're literally just gathering together to hide out and ride out the storm. And this was the best Creeper on paper we've seen in years, which we haven't gotten a lot of Creeper.
Right. That's true.
In the past, but this is the best of the Creeper in like one page of comics that I've seen since Batman, the Animated Series, or, yeah, I'll say that since Batman, the Animated Series, this is the best. Was he in Animated Series or is that,
he was in Justice League? He actually came before all that. He actually does exist.
Oh yeah, I know he's a comics character. He hasn't had a lot of representation.
No.
No. Like
and that's another one of those Creeper number one, not very collectible.
Yeah, no. But that's the thing, like he got more representation on the animated series and in some subsequent animation stuff than he's gotten on pages in generations.
Yes. Definitely true.
But there's great Creeper stuff. But the thing that I loved about it was literally the story on the other side of the coin focuses on Red Hood, Cassandra Cain, and Jim Gordon.
Oh, that's fun.
Right. And they're a team. So you've got Red Hood, Cassandra Cain, who at this time is not Orphan, but Batgirl, and Jim Gordon riding around together in the Batmobile, trying to rescue people.
Oh, interesting.
And like issue one concludes with the three of them holding up to protect an orphanage, and like Jason Todd, like, us orphans got to stick together. And I'm like, oh, my heart. So
you nerd.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me. There's that. And also X-Force is still a book that I'm enjoying. Marauders was my flavor when the X-Men books split off, just because I enjoyed the arc they were doing with Kitty Pryde. Right now, I'm lost and don't know what the crap is happening, and there's not enough Kitty for my Pryde's sake. And I am at the place where X-Force is still pretty solid because you've got Domino and Wolverine, and one of the cool things is in the most recent issue of X-Force 7, they introduce a Nega Domino. They haven't said what her name is yet, but there is someone who is the negative flip color version of Domino. So she's all black with one white spot, and she currently possesses all of Domino's luck. And
dang.
So interesting to see how that story plays out and what that's going to be. But I am still slightly bitter at having to have every mutant wedged into these books right now, other than Deadpool, because I really feel like Gail Simone's Domino was fantastic, and I don't feel like we're getting a good representation of all of the character that character was. In fact, I really don't know if you're getting a solid representation of any X-Men characters right now, other than Emma Frost and Magneto and Xavier. Like, I don't know if anybody else is getting the full love they deserve, because I'm reading X-Force, Marauders, and X-Men, and I feel like somehow everything always is about Emma or Xavier or Magneto or maybe Wolverine. But I'm just like, with this many mutants all swarming around, I shouldn't have to read Excalibur or New Mutants to get a decent character story.
Hmm.
exhale.
That's and, officially more than I know, though, because I think I mentioned episodes ago that I was done. I think after the first arc that I was like,
nobody ever believes you when you say you're done. So yeah, you're actually
but
done.
I literally haven't read an X book since then. So, well, I tried. The lead up was really good. It made my list of really good things. Sigh.
Beyond that, the other thing I was reading that I'm not going to say I've loved it, but I'm happy of the direction. And this goes back to my previous fanboy discussion. Red Hood and the Outlaws has brought back Artemis and Bizarro.
Ooh.
And I love me some Outlaws of Red Hood, Artemis and Bizarro, because it truly is the dark trinity of a disgraced Batman, a disgraced Superman, and a disgraced Amazon. And I love the arc. I love the relationships. And my only beef is they're still hanging around Lex Luthor's loser squad of Mighty Duck wannabe supervillains.
Ugh, stop it.
And so they're all coinciding right now. And I'm really hoping they're going to drop these other kids off at Ma Gunn's door so Jason can go off and be an outlaw again. But currently standing, I've really enjoyed that. And just the fact that they brought my boy and girl back, I'm hopeful for the future of that. So those are some ones that I've enjoyed reading a lot. What about
and you? Some less than a lot.
Yeah, some than a lot, yeah.
So I was kind of all over the place. So I'm going to talk about, first of all, I'm going to say up front to everyone that's like, you guys don't talk enough about Marvel. Well, get over it because
we really do. Is that still a discussion?
You just talked a lot about Marvel and, all my books except one are going to be Marvel, though two of them I'm going to say not so great things about. So maybe the point's valid, but, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I literally went to the comic book store and I think I walked out with all Marvel. And I was like, huh. So calm down, everyone. The comic book industry does this. It ebbs and flows. And actually, it's kind of true because we're going to talk about this here in a second about how Batman's been doing post Tom King. But I want to talk about probably one of my favorite books right now. Is actually a Marvel book, gasp, and it's not Daredevil. It's Doctor Strange.
What you talking about, Christopher?
Yeah, it's Doctor Strange, Surgeon Supreme. And so Wade is still working on this, and I tried to pick it up when Mark Wade started writing, and when it was all super, super, like, cosmos-y, when everything at Marvel was, because we were doing the Thanos thing times 1,000, I couldn't get into it. But then someone's like, you should really check this out. Doctor Strange, Surgeon Supreme is, you know, well, he can use his hands like he used to. He's going back to be a surgeon and Sorcerer Supreme. And the book's about the balance of the two lives. And so they give you the left and right controls of this that, well, he's a freaking amazing sorcerer, so he can just fix everyone. Well, he has decided that part of his oath is that using mystical powers to heal people would be in somehow, shape or form, wrong. That it has to be under his doctoral capabilities as a surgeon. So he's not giving away entirely who he is, though lots of people involved know who he is in the story. But so there's this neat thing of, you know, he does lots of surgery again, but he also needs to balance the, oh, when the Earth gets in mystical trouble, I'm still the guy. So it's kind of been this middle of the road story of kind of the punk that we got introduced to of being all into himself. So that whole ego thing is coming back into the discussion about how amazing he is. But that he also has to figure out how to heal people physically while not neglecting the mystical protection and vice versa. And even though for some that might sound like a really strange comic book setup, or it's exactly what comics are designed for, my humble opinion, it's been pretty fun. The art's pretty great. He has this assistant that actually is balancing like both sides of it, and he's like a semi-fanboy. And so there's lots of interactions between him and his assistant that is really just kind of funny, because he knows both worlds of what's going on, and he just tries to fanboy. And in every book, there's almost at least one moment where he goes off and asks like 47 questions, and he's like, okay, what was our deal? And he's like, I only get to ask one cape question per day. And he's like, yeah, which one do you want to use today, dude? So
that's a solid rule, though,
right? It's like, you get one cape question a day, bro. And it's like, oh. And then he goes back and files like all the paperwork for insurance and stuff like that. So like his life in the American medical system is just paperwork, which hits home. So it's really good. I read two and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna read three, and I think four is either out now and I just haven't read it yet. I'm behind. But I was like, I'm gonna sub to this book. It's fun. And so if you've been looking for kind of that Walking the Line, Doctor Strange type story, where it looks like we'll see plenty of Spider-Man again and other stuff going on. So have at it. I think it's a great outing for Marvel early this year. So before I get into the rest of all my wonderful Marvel books, I think we need to talk about Batman post Tom King. So 86 and 89 just came out. I've not read 89. I'm a terrible person.
I did.
I already understand that. Because supposedly it's supposed to be a really big deal that the entire world went out and bought thousands of books for, and they're selling for stupid amounts of money. But we can have that discussion here in a moment. But I'm semi-fascinated by the new arc, because the good news is there's not a hard ending point, and clearly just a new creative team took on, like, the stuff in Batman and Catwoman is still a thing. Where in this universe, it hasn't changed. But for me, it felt like such a temperature change in writing and art that I went, whoa, what just happened? My brain, mm-hmm. I think, is still reconciling that, okay, they're saying words about things I should care about as we literally just did these things. But this is an example where, for me, the visual is almost distracting me. It's not bad, but it's so different, which I'm sure.
It's different. It's shiny. It's computer touched. It's like,
yeah, it feels like a real mid 90s art style to me. That highly stylistic Batman. Like, I feel like if you pick up early New 52, you'd find stuff similar.
Okay. I was about to say, it's straight up. There's a page in issue 9 where you meet a serial killer called the Tooth Eater.
Oh, is that the new guy?
No.
Spoilers?
No. There is a new guy that they're going to be concerned with. And apparently he's the big bad for this whole arc.
Right.
But there's a random villain assassin person called Tooth Eater, and I swear, dude, it looks like something you would have seen as a street villain in New 52, like the first issues.
Okay. I feel slightly better now. And I know some people absolutely love this writer, and I guess it's me. Ooh. But I'm not in love in it. I'm a little distracted by it right now.
Hold on. Just for the record, tell me you know someone that absolutely loves this writer personally.
I feel like there's someone in the community, so we just like totally just added someone.
Okay. No, not but, I'm like legit. I've never heard anyone say I love Tinian.
Right. I know.
I've never audibly heard that.
So I'm still reading. I will forever and always pick up a Batman book and a Flash book, because that's who I am. But
I don't want to spoil the, you know, the new big bad or anything for anybody, but I will just say this. He looks like someone tripped and fell through a rack at Goodwill, and what we see is the outcome.
So it's Macklemore?
It's Macklemore in a Daredevil mask.
Oh, for the love. Okay, yeah, I definitely need to make it to the shop tomorrow.
I'm about to send you a picture. Hang on.
so I can catch up on this. But so
just look at this and tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Please.
Oh no. Some folks paid lots of money for that today. All right. Comics are fascinating, and if we haven't demonstrated that over the last year plus, then I'm not sure. But I don't know.
But now, Batman but feels now I'm like hearing Macklemore songs as I look at this page.
Right. Well, there you go.
Popping I feel tags. Glorious, glorious.
So yeah, I guess you can say, kids, that I'm kind of delivering my first semi-negative impact on a Batman / DC book, but. I'm still curious how this is going to resolve. There is kind of like the rogues gallery coming together story here, and I always love when DC does that. So we'll see.
And you've got Harley officially on Team Bat now. And one of the big reveals is that coming up in a couple issues, we get Harley's replacement, which I think her name is Punchline.
Oh, snap. Yeah, something like that. I did hear something about that.
But so, you actually see her in this book as well.
There's lots of stuff going on in the Batman universe, and it's one of those for a lot of fans, I think for me included, it's the you just got to see for yourself.
But so, Batman 89, if you are into that type of deal on first appearances of characters, this has at least two that it will be worth it for you to pick one up if that's your deal.
And I know they're pricing all over the place, so hopefully your local shop still has one and they're being kind to those of you that have pull lists there. But I want to talk about another book I'm really happy about, and it's another Marvel book. I really enjoyed Ant-Man's Return. I may be alone on that one. But
go on.
I really enjoyed the last Ant-Man series, which has been 2 or 3 years now, kind of where it ended up and things like that. But I really dig where that they picked up right where it left off, that Ant-Man's daughter is kind of in on the Pym particle thing now and is given her shot at being a superhero. And it's a daddy-daughter superhero combo, but it's Scott Lang, so it's kind of funny. And I'm down for that. I'm all about it. So it's Scott, who's been kind of a screwed up dad to begin with, and that's been a lot of the story in the movies and through a lot of his story in general, but especially the last comic arc. So the fact that they're kind of getting to explore her new powers and being the new Wasp type character. I've already forgotten what they called her, and that's a downside. But that's kind of the fun of that some old school Ant-Man villains are also coming out of the woodwork, and it's just a fun book. It's well drawn and it's just silly fun, and every now and then that's all I want from a hero book. So I'm unapologetic in saying Ant-Man was definitely worth going back and picking up. I think number two is either out or it's about to come out, so you can catch up on that one pretty quick. So, Ant-Man's back, baby! Scott Lang! right?
Sure.
Hey, man. if they bring Grizzly back, I'll be even more happy, but I'll Ooh. Take... He has his sidekick, who is the dude in the Man-Bear costume, who has been from the entire last arc, and if that dude doesn't make it into the next movie, I'm gonna be sad, because that's kind of a funny bit to the whole Scott Lang security thing that okay. the movie people do not have an appreciation for at all. But let me take this opportunity to now upset some of the Marvel fans. I read two other
Yay.
New books. And one of those was Star Wars Renumbered and Restarted.
Is it still canon?
Yeah, anything under the new banner is. And Sewell is writing the main line again, and also. And I kind of got bored before I got to the end of the first issue. I was like, oh no, usually Star Wars content is there, but we've had this discussion in the community before and between me and some of my friends of some folks want to see completely new content, and I dig that. And some people want to see nothing but old school fan service. A lot of the mainline comic has tried to hit the middle, which is you are very aware of all the characters, where it falls in the canon timeline, but they're stories we haven't necessarily heard. It's stuff that, you know, 9 movies aren't going to get to, right? But unfortunately, this time around, I was like, cool. So we've got lots of Lando, and I think it's post Cloud City is kind of where this new thing started. So it's right on top of a bunch of stuff we should know and understand. And as a result of that, they give us some new characters and some other stuff. But I was like, I kind of don't care because I don't see how this portion of this part of this timeline is going to give me something fulfilling. So I was kind of bummed. I did read the first 2 to make sure that it wasn't just like a slow start. But for folks that are definitely completionists and want to see like literally every breathing moment of Luke Skywalker and bits of his saga, I'm sure you will thoroughly enjoy it. The art's right along with what it's always been. And Sewell does write good Star Wars. I just kind of got bummed by it. At least we have new Clone Wars coming.
I am a Star Wars fan, like, tatted on my chest level, but I've not read Star Wars comics. Like, it's just not a medium I've ever chased for that franchise. And, like, the only Star Wars comic I've read in adult life, or since I've been really into comics again, was the one that was the backstory on... what's his face?
Snoke. You can do it.
Snoke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can do better.
I know I can, but I've got a dude that in my life, he's an older gentleman that is an avid Star Wars fan, and he had every question in the world about Star Wars in regards to Snoke to me, and he was always like, hey man, do you think Snoke is this and Snoke is that? And I'm like, I need to buy this just for this dude. So, like, I bought it, read it, and then gave him a copy.
Well, if you want to feel, like, feelings for Star Wars again, you need to go read pretty much any of the Vader stuff. Because that's also Sewell. And it's so good. That is a little more of, like, early Darth Vader, you know, post-Anakin. But, like, actually just milliseconds on the other side of what Palpatine did with Vader in the early time of establishing, nah, he's the guy and you should fear him. So it's an interesting little walk on that whole process of he's in the suit, he's Vader, now what? And it's kind of a fun little walk on that. The Thrawn mini was really good too, if you want to see the kind of canonical setup of where Grand Admiral Thrawn came from. Which I guess for you, because you still haven't gotten to Rebels, so you don't know why that's cool yet. Nope. So,
last thing, Rebels. I just watched the end of season 4 for Clone Wars.
Oh, so. Man, the next 2 seasons are about to like hit you right in the feels, and you've already been hit in the feels. So yes. get ready for more feels. But hey, also, we got season 7 of Clone Wars, you know, going live on Disney Plus this week as well, so all of us can be like super excited about Star Wars right now. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And the last one that I picked up from Marvel that week, because like I said, it was like a pile of Marvel #1. So I was like, we should do this. I read The Weapon Plus World War 4.
That's a mouthful.
And I wish I didn't. But it's Man-Thing. And he's like in Vietnam, like stuff on the cover, and it's a really cool Man-Thing cover, and it was just kind of a book. I wanted it to be, you know, Marvel's Swamp Thing winter special outing, but with Man-Thing, and it just wasn't. So if you love Man-Thing, then maybe it's worth at least a quick visit, but the story was just so all over the place and disjointed that I was kind of disappointed. They took the opportunity to bring us Man-Thing and then kind of basically did nothing with him.
I also echo that sentiment. Who do you know that loves Man-Thing?
Man, I think Man-Thing's pretty awesome. The thing that depressed me a little, though, is Man-Thing is, you know, you got to look at the Swamp Thing versus Man-Thing. But Man-Thing was supposed to be slightly different, always was. But this book, I'm like, it's Swamp Thing. Like, they didn't even go out of their way to try to tell me why Man-Thing was something different. It's just Swamp Thing. And I'm like, ugh. Killing me, Smalls. But the cover's cool. So if you're a Man-Thing fan and you just want a really cool cover, then get the book for that because it's great. But don't read it. It'll make you sad. So
that's so horrible,
right? And I know we haven't done that a lot, but every now and then I do feel like if I read something and I just kind of feel meh, we should be honest with our adoring fans. Or it's a great opportunity for them to tell me why I'm wrong, and that's why comics are great. But I know that's all that I really pulled this week, and you had a great cross section of stuff. So I think, Hector, we should kind of tell everybody what the future holds for the pull list.
It's over. It's been a good run. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, snap. Okay, all of you that just freaked out, we kid.
Nobody freaked out.
If you want to send all of your notes, send them to Hector, though, because he gave you a heart attack. But we've decided we will probably go to a bit of a season type format. So when we have major breaks, we can schedule those a little better. So people aren't like, where are they? Why? And we know some of you have, and we appreciate all of you. And that's why we wanted to get an episode out, so you can hear a little bit about what's coming next and also get some books to read while we're waiting for season two, which won't be very long. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully all of our schedules are pretty in the clear, but we want to change up the format a little bit. Hector and I have been talking about, we'll still do polls, but we might limit ourselves more to 3 major books a piece per week so we can get more of the story out, because you guys have said you're picking up books because we're talking about them, and that's awesome. We're really humbled by that. So we want to make those be really great things that you can go to and find and read and enjoy instead of kind of just the cross section, kind of like today, where it was a little bit of everything. But we also kind of want to jump into the meat of some of these stories that we've been getting to, or stories from the past. So Hector and I have talked about, we think we want to bring to you, you know, major story arcs that we think are worth reading, quotable moments from books from previous weeks and things like that. So it's not just the whole book, but if something did stand out in the middle of a story, we want to make sure that you don't miss those types of things. And what else? There are a few things that you were thinking about, Hector.
I was thinking of, like, we talk about, like, the one line out of everything that stands out.
Yeah.
The one book that you wish that the one book you wanted to pick up, but just didn't. Like, maybe it was just the one book that, you know, I like this idea, but for $4, no. And, like, maybe you can reconsider it later. Talked about, let's see, about the who we think is doing the best art right now. Like,
yeah, just kind of stuff. To give everybody some more names of creatives that are out there, some good examples that... We're still going to be comics. We're still going to try to get you a little bit of the important news and things that we've enjoyed, but we're trying to find that next level of depth to give you to that. It might not be an entire book. It might literally be, but you should be following this creator online because they do cool stuff. And that'll lead hopefully because to more.
Like, if you're not following Lee Weeks's Facebook and Instagram, you should do right. that.
No. And you should absolutely do that. Lee, I was literally, while we were talking here, he popped up in my feed. He's got a Catwoman commission for C2E2. He just shared that. I was like, I am sad inside because that is not mine, and that is amazing. Because Lee is an incredibly talented dude. So we want to provide you with a little more of who these folks are. And also, we're still going to keep hunting down those killer interviews and making sure that you're getting those as well so you can meet new and interesting people in the comic book industry. But I think the other thing for Hector and I is we also want to hear from you guys and what you want to hear on the pull list. So you can get that stuff to us on the Love Thy Nerd community and reach out to us on socials. We'll drop some of our social tags in these show notes and everything, because it's not just about us sitting here talking about comics, though. Ironically, it's about us sitting here talking about comics. It's about everybody.
It's a paradox.
Right. Oh, well, it's about all of us as a community coming together and enjoying the thing that we enjoy, which is comics and everything around it. So we want to hear from you just as much as you hear from us. And that might be another thing that we finally implement. We've been doing as we get them, you know, what you've been reading. We may go to a format where we actually allow you guys to call and leave us a voicemail and tell us the things that we're not doing. So your lovely voice may be featured on this wonderful podcast in the near future.
Or technology, I will do puppets with impersonations.
Right. Or yes, we'll just do creative visual reenactments of your recommendations, and we'll have to do some of that. And
between our action figure collections, we could actually put together virtually anything you suggest.
See, we're cooking with fire now. And the other thing that Hector and I really hope to bring over the next season is a little more video content. By little more, we mean any, because that's something we haven't done before. We're thinking about doing basically our full pull list and maybe a quicker video format, so you can literally see the covers of these books and go, oh, that's the book, and be able to write that stuff down and go and do that. So be on the lookout for all that stuff over the next couple months as we kind of get the things together. But between this show and the next one, you know, jump in the community or hit us up on the Twitters or the other things. We'll drop, like I said, we'll drop all our contact info in the show notes to give us some feedback of kind of the things you want to hear as the pull list here grows into the next season. And Hector and I do really just want to thank all of you for being along the ride for this long, 30 episodes. Doesn't feel like a lot, but it's over a year. It's thousands of downloads, which is incredibly humbling to both of us, that you guys kind of like comics, and that's awesome. So anything you wanted to add to our the future of the pull list there, Hector?
There will be more pulls, more eats, and pages coming. So, no.
All the good things.
All the things.
Right. So that's all for the pull list podcast, episode 30. It's in the can, and now it's in your ears. Episode 1 is a wrap.
So is season 1. Hey!
We did it! But we couldn't possibly do this alone. As many of you know, we take this journey of podcast and fandom along with two other amazing podcasts on the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. Humans of Gaming with Drew and Chris. They do interviews with game designers, producers, and creators, and really get to the heart of what those folks do and why they create the fun things that they create. And then we have Free Play, which is Bubba, Matt, and Kate, that covers just about every other nerdy thing possible. It's fun. It's a fun podcast, and they've kind of entered their season 2 as well, as that's kind of what's going on at Love Thy Nerd, is we're turning that corner into that season format. And so you're starting to see new things on both of those shows over the next couple weeks as well. So thanks for being part of the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. Thanks for listening to Hector and I muse about comics every so often. And that's awesome. We just love you guys so much. So thank you for choosing us as your primary source of all things comic booky and generally nerdy on a near weekly basis. Don't leave us hanging. Rate and review the show on your podcasting app of choice. We're on the iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and so much more. And we love us them 5-star reviews. Give us some of them 5-star reviews. So good. Thank you guys. And so thanks for listening. And remember, kids, read more comics. I'm gonna take all 7 continents in the game of Risk. The master of epic duels.